Hi, John.
Hey, Alex.
Do you know what I hate?
What is that?
Ares, the god of war.
Oh, you mean the god of truth?
Oh, wow. I just got blackpilled.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we are. Wonder Woman. Yeah, all right. So I need some preamble here because I'm going to defend a movie I don't like a lot on this episode. And mm-hmm. There's two things I need to talk about here. One, anything positive I say about this movie is, and spoiler alert for Wonder Woman, and I'm going to give away the ending now. No, I won't give away the ending now because we're going to have to talk about that in detail. But anything I say about this movie is under the auspice of, I grew up as a little girl and, the second the David Thewlis reveal happens, the movie ends. It's a very narrow scope.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed to defend the movie that ends the way this one does. So yeah. I want to kind of protect myself a little bit that I'm well aware that that is a dog shit driving off the cliff thing that happened. But there's, yeah. So that's my preamble. Let's talk about it like we normally would. I want the audience to know that whatever positive I say about this movie, there's a lot that I have my hands over my eyes. I'm sure we'll discuss it, but I don't want to be embarrassed by a lot of my opinions here.
Sure. And I will admit that, like, as a movie, I don't think it's very good. But I do also, I am perhaps being a little harsher on it because of the, like, social thing that it was and was advertised to be.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to say it forced me to look at it that way, but it certainly was in the back of my head when I was watching it, and that sucks. And it also made me think, like, hey, remember happier times when people were just mad about a movie?
Yeah.
How fucking stupid that is, but...
This movie also I don't see movies in the theater super often. But there's certain ones I will, especially when, people of color and lady-led movies. I sound like I'm virtuous signal, Mick fucking mm-hmm. signal right now. But like the ones that you kind of need to give money so more of them get made, I'll try to make it a point of showing up to. And although this is a DC movie, they suck at making movies. So I'm like, all right, I should show up to this, support Patty Jenkins. Maybe we'll get more female-led movies. Like, this seems like a good idea. And maybe this is common for all of these type of big movies, but like it's significantly worse outside of the theater.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I do think that as much as I sort of dislike these movies, if you're going to see a comic movie, see it in the theater as part of the whole experience, as part of the whole thing. It's like, you know, it's a Universal Studios ride. Like, go be a part of that. Don't play the board game at home.
Yeah. Because this was a lot more fun in the theater. Because like the dull spots, and there's a lot of them. Because this movie mm-hmm. is not I think it's the script. It doesn't flow very well in a couple of very key spots. But it's just, you know, like it. Yeah. Anyway, but in the theater, it looks really nice during those dull spots. So you kind of like you're a little like you're not as like, oh boy, I'm looking at my watch here. It just it still looks really cool. Like, hey, look, it's the battlefront and. There's certain, like it's beautiful, so you kind of forget. But watching it on my home screen is like, holy cats, this is long. Like this is taking a fucking minute.
It does not need to be 141 minutes long. That's so much my problem with this. A lot of this fucking superhero movie stuff is that, like, just be a superhero movie. Quit being so like ponderous and bleh, because you don't have the backbone for that. Like, it's all pretty empty.
Yeah, I think I like this. I like this better than the parts I like in this. I like a lot more than I like the parts in Aquaman that I like. You know, like Aquaman's a better overall kind of cohesive film, but the stuff that's good in this one kicks the shit out of anything in Aquaman.
I'm struggling to find stuff that was good in this one.
I think the
anything off the island.
Yeah, the first act, everything up until they leave on the boat, I think is great. I mean, is a wonderful way to introduce the character, the world. It's all the stakes that's happening. Delightful opening. And I think it's a little, it falls off a cliff a little bit with when it gets into how awkward I am in the world of man stuff when they get to England. But even that is fine if the third act paid off better. Like, imagine that this movie ended well. I think you would look back a little more fondly. But anyway, the good stuff is that any fight sequence with her where she's doing kind of full power again, up into the Thulis reveal, because we'll get to that, and I have a lot to yell out. But, like, her fighting in the front was rad. The fight in the where he saves, where the Chris Pine as the damsel in distress, which I really enjoyed as he's the piece of meat, like, which would be a female in most other.
Sure.
It's a little heavy-handed, but again, I'm not pretending on purpose, but like I'm just imagining being like a little girl in the theater and having this entire different perspective of a movie being thrown at my face and be like, oh, this is delightful.
Yeah, and that's part of my thing. Like if you are a child, a little girl, and are inspired by this, that's awesome. That absolutely works. But if you're a grown ass adult, oh my God, it's just absurd. So going back to the beginning here. So she is a baby. The only child on this island.
Thermaskira.
Her mom, even though every single woman on the island, it's all women, every single woman on the island once is training to fight all the time. She can't for some reason. And she's mad about that. And so she sneaks away to train with Robin Wright, who's great. I like Robin
Wright. Robin Wright is so good in this. She's a national treasure, and I kind of in love with her.
There's part of me, and this is sort of where it starts, is that kind of not to just to go on another divergence here. Wonder Woman was created by this guy, William Moulton Marston, who is a big weirdo and was part of he invented the lie detector test, was part of a polycule, and was way into bondage shit, which is some of where her stuff comes from. Which, I mean, no shame in that. If you can make a bunch of money being horny for something, that's great. It worked for Joss Whedon, so why not? So knowing that, going to this movie, I would kind of wish I would have this movie would have been done by someone who really played with that a lot more. So much of what's happening on the island is, like, so queer-coded, and you could do so much with that. But it's just like, no, these are women. And as soon as she gets off the island, she's like, yeah, men are pretty cool. I don't really need to talk to any other woman in this movie. But I kind of wish they had done more with that. Like, I kind of wish it was like almost the giantesses from that episode of Futurama.
Death by Snoo Snoo.
Yeah. Just something like make it so ridiculous. Make Wonder Woman I still think she should have been played by Gina Carano. I think that would have been awesome.
I don't disagree with you. But I think they did as much as they could for a mainstream DC movie. Like, she basically says, we are industrial strength lesbians on the island during that one scene where it's like, oh, yeah, we read the entire treatise on lovemaking. And she's like, oh, yeah, you wouldn't like it. It basically says that men are useless except for reproduction. So she's basically saying, like, oh, no, we're just hugely into, like, fleshy pleasures or whatever the phrase is, which that's pretty ballsy for, what is this, PG-13 DC movie?
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying like, well, these are supposed to be lesbians, so they're supposed to look like my stereotypical understanding of lesbians. I'm just saying it would have been a lot more fun to play with that and have it be a bunch of different type of people rather than kind of a little bit more male gazy kind of stuff, which I feel is a thing that this movie suffers from a lot for being feminist.
Yeah, no, I got you. I think that's a fair cop. I liked the way they used male gaze a little, like, and I'd like the way I used it, but
it was like the first. Maybe one or two times they did the whole like, she's pretty and she's a genius was fine, but they did that a lot.
Yeah, that's sort of what I'm dancing around here is it's not I think they use the male gaze stuff as like, she's amazing, but like, I think it's an empowered way to use her sexuality, to use like way too shitty of a phrase. But they also did it too many times where it just went, yeah, we fucking get it. Also, there's a lot of, oh, we get it. This movie's not, it's a little beat over there.
That was initially what sort of heavy-handed stuff I started this whole rant with was when she, as a child, is sneaking away to fight with, train with Robin Wright, and Robin Wright just like tells her like, oh, you're not fighting well because you don't believe in yourself enough.
Yeah.
I'm like, boy, that just seems like an obvious plot point thing. But then guess what? It doesn't fucking matter. It never really comes up again.
Well, it comes up during the final battle.
Yeah, barely.
I'm not saying
the whole like point of the movie has shifted from that point. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I just feel like coming back to that then is like, well, okay. It just never really felt like a struggle she was having.
Yeah, I think it fits within the scope of the problem is you don't like these other movies, but this is par for the course for superhero movies where at the end a trivial change is the thing that matters. Iron Man is, you know, whatever. Oh, I sort of sacrificed myself slightly. That's my arc, even though
not really. Yeah. that's also the problem, because if you're using these, some of these same old tropes and then you're trying to code them as like feminine or feminist,
yeah,
you run into serious issues, like the fact that Dr. Poison has the whole like, well, I'm a villain because I'm disfigured, really kind of like, well, ugly women are bad. Like,
yeah,
get away from them, particularly when she has no other motivation in the movie. Other than, like, I guess I like making weapons.
Yeah. Well, I mean, her name's Dr. Poison.
She was born with it. I don't think it was.
It's there's certain things that I will give. And I think this is going to be just a fundamental thing between us every time we watch a superhero movie, where there's certain things where I will just let people get away with. If you name a character Dr. Poison Doom, eventually,
exactly,
when they make
my point, like, I don't give a shit, because they're trying to sell this as like, the first feminist superhero.
Well, I think
which is bullshit, because Mila Jovovich should be pissed, because like, that's been her whole career, is playing like badass action superhero ladies.
Yeah.
Or the I've never seen any of these, but the goddamn werewolf movies. Underworld.
Oh yeah, Underworld. Yeah, those are actually pretty fun. The Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. I've only seen the first. I've seen some random amount of them that because they're all the same movie and they're kind of fun. Here's, I think, this movie, as far as being enjoyed, what we're talking about here about it being, you know, kind of put forth as this feminist thing, I think Patty Jenkins was just directing a superhero movie with a female lead.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not necessarily saying that it was intended as such. I know Patty Jenkins has even said that, like, that she doesn't view her as a feminist icon, that she's more of a universal character.
Yeah.
And they want her to be like a ball buster or something. Fine. But like I said, because there was such hubbub around it, everyone treated it like this.
Yeah.
Lady Ghostbusters thing.
I think that takes away a lot, because if you just viewed this as like gender switch it again, it's just a mediocre superhero movie.
Well, that's my thing, it is dull.
But that's
not entertaining.
But I think that's the fact that it was made. Yeah, I think it was just done a disservice that it was put out as this feminist thing instead of just being a female led superhero movie, which is, it's fine. It's just as good as Iron Man 2 or 3 or a significant number of the Marvel movies, where that's totally fine. You showed up. There were some boring parts.
No,
like, there's some action
boilerplate
beats.
Nonsense. It's,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think
nothing special. It reminded me a bit of Thor in certain places.
Yeah. But I think
it's not great.
But I think boilerplate is, I mean, I'm well outside of the where I should be talking here, but I think boilerplate is more feminist than trying to make it feminist. Like, it's just, no, that's just who you are. Like, there's a thing with like the LGBTQ plus community where it's, well, don't write us as our character is we're LGBTQ plus. Write us as characters. And that's just
right.
That's what I like about this, where it's no, we're just writing a superhero movie that's a lady. Like,
sure. Well, Sherman Alexie, the Native American writer, has a similar thing about that, where it's like, we're just people. We're not
exactly
like ancient shamans or something. We're just people with problems and loves and hates and all that.
Yeah, I actually, on that note, I did like the Native American character in this, where him being Native American really has almost nothing to do with anything. It's like, he's not like a great tracker or any of the other Native American tropes. It's like, just, yeah, I was done. My country did dirty to me, and I'm going to be over here doing this. That's it. There's no giant, sad other thing. There's no mystical power. You can't grow in size or whatever that one from the Wonder Friends did. Mm-hmm. But on the island, we won't do the whole movie of the yay female empowerment thing, but it was nice to see middle-aged women kicking ass.
Well, I will say this about the island, and this was something I was going to bring up in my previous rant, is that I think it would have been awesome to have her mom be the woman that played Red Sonja. Is it Connie Nielsen or Brigitte Nielsen?
Brigitte Nielsen, I think.
Yeah. It's like just like this cigarette-smoking alcoholic now. That would have been awesome. I would love to have seen that.
Yes. I love your
heroic, but it would have been awesome.
No, I love it because Hippolyta, her mother, is not in it enough that a stunt casting like that would totally work, because she's not a very strong, like the what's Robin Wright Penn? Antiope. Like, she's in it more than the mother. So you have to have a strong character there. But yeah, having some cigarette-y Red Sonja, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah. But the bit where, like, they're training and the woman like leans off the side of the horse to pick something up.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
That was awesome. Like,
that's why I think why I like that fight scene on the beach, with them when the Germans show up.
Yeah. Really good.
Pretty sweet.
And it's just, it's nice to see, because I was thinking of the Expendables, which they're older, but like, you don't see kind of older women kicking ass in mm-hmm. the same way that you see men. Like, Robin Wright, you can see like her like clavicle, like she's got wrinkly skin, which, like, I'm not saying that as like a negative. It just, you never see that in movies. It's like, this is kind of awesome. Like, on a fundamental level, it's nice to see people that. And also, Robin Wright is, she's so great. She's one of those people that it's only occurred to me recently that she's a gift from the gods and should be worshipped as such. Like, that's the princess from Princess Bride. Yeah.
No, she's so bad. Like, she's badass in everything. Like, I loved her in Blade Runner 2049.
Yeah.
And I didn't really enjoy House of Cards, but I liked her in it. What I did see of it.
Yeah, I have the exact same thing of, I didn't get into House of Cards, but the ones I saw, she was good. And I didn't say that because I couldn't think of the name of the show. I was like, that HBO Cinemax, one of them, you know, that one. But, and that the kind of swole black lady that's like on the island. None of them have names, so I have to refer to people in shitty ways. But another character type you don't see, and I was like, oh, that she could beat the living shit out of me, and that was kind of cool. Like, again, it's nice to see different. That's why I like the Chris Penn as like being like the sex, you know, useless underpowered sex symbol, like. Oh, this is nice. I get this is a good.
Yeah, I got a little tired of the sort of
the running dick joke, because that was terrible.
Awkwardness.
Yeah,
like when they're first on the boat and he kind of has a couple of moments. I'm like, oh, this is all right. And then like, oh, this is your whole character, huh? Okay.
I kind of like that because that's about as much character as any woman in that role would get. So
fair enough. I'm just saying it doesn't make it enjoyable to watch.
Oh, no, totally. Yeah. But that's why, it's like, I think the feminist way to approach this is like, this is just as dumb as the other movies. That's, yeah.
Right.
But,
I guess I think that's a weird thing to aspire to.
Well, not aspire to.
Congratulations, you have your brain dead cotton candy. Fantastic.
I got distracted by, apropos of nothing, and I'm sure this, I have the note, I can't wait for a hunkosaurus to break through the invisible barrier around my island, in parentheses, heart. Because he is a hunkosaurus. Yeah, that whole fight scene where they jump off the cliff and kind of use their arrows to rappel down. It's like, this is delightful, which I think that makes the contrast of them entering into London even worse, because he had this really delightful sequence.
Well,
and then it just grinds to a halt.
Yeah, and that's a thing that kind of bums me out with the whole thing. So I understand the you know, it's supposed to be Wonder Woman, not the Amazonians of the island, but like this is such an awesome fighting force and you know, kick-ass thing, and then you abandon it to hang out with a bunch of goobers for most of the movie. And I know that's sort of her thing, is she's breaking out and going in the own world, but I would have liked to call back to that a bit.
Yeah, you know, I have questions about them, and I'm sure you don't have the answers, but I'm going to ask you, it's so that when you don't know, you'll be humiliated in public. But multiple things.
Oh, no, I don't know about comics. How humiliating.
Why are they Amazons?
I don't know. I don't have a lot of the DC knowledge I do have. I was never that into Wonder Woman.
Yeah, so, I didn't think you were going to know, and I don't think it's actually, I'm sure it's probably not even addressed. It was just one of those, because I know, like, in the old, like, the original writings, you know, ancient Romans that referred to Amazons.
They did get moved to that island for safety. So they're not originally from that island, so maybe they were from Amazonia. I believe they mentioned that in the interminable backstory.
Yeah, you might be right. I was waiting for a mother box to show up in that backstory.
Yeah, so at a certain point, when Wonder Woman's a kid, her mom is telling her basically their creation myth, and it's like 10 minutes, it feels like, of like, just, if you ever wanted oil paintings to look really bad, then this is a dream for you, then.
Yeah.
This sequence, because it's fucking, I mean, I see what they were going for, and like, I like the idea, but just the execution's not good.
No, go ahead.
I did look this up because it was bothering me, and what little research I did into it, because Ares is certainly a figure in the Wonder Woman universe in DC or whatever. At no point is he Satan, and they turned him into Satan in this, and I can't figure out why.
They turn him into Satan in this. What do you mean
because,
by that?
Because he is against God creating. He's like John Milton's Satan, whereas like he's against God creating.
Oh.
Try to show him how dumb humans were, and he got cast down. Where he's an insane god of war. Why did you change that?
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's something I didn't realize. Like when it was happening, I was like, okay. And then at the end, when he kind of mentioned,
because Dave Lewis
shows up and is mentioning that, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not.
Because I think in the actual Greek myths, I think that's Zeus that hates humans and wants to kill all of us.
Probably. They were all awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, because that's why he did Prometheus. Like the guy with the, that's the guy with the liver, right?
Yeah, I think most people have livers.
No, but I mean the one that gets like nailed to the ground.
He stole the fire.
Yeah, because like Zeus was all pissed. He wanted to like kill us. So like that's a weird. I guess because Zeus is her dad.
Yeah, but I mean it also leads to a larger issue I have with the kind of whitewashing isn't the right word, but sort of like reframing of myths in history to suit this purpose, with myths. Yeah, that's fine. That happens all the time. But the whole thing happening during World War One, yeah, didn't really sit great with me, particularly like because the end of the movie is supposed to be like, we beat war, and no, you didn't. In fact, you may have helped make an even worse one.
Well, okay, we're gonna have to get to that later. Let's put that, because I think that's a longer conversation. But just on that note, it's weird. I know we're tired of World War II, but like, if you're gonna have the personification of war, why do World War One?
Because it's also like, watching it, I realized I barely know anything about World War One. I remember writing, papers about it back in school, but it seemed politically messy. And I know Franz Ferdinand was involved in the sinking of Lusitania. Beyond that, I don't.
I was literally going to say Archduke Ferdinand and the sinking of Lusitania, the two things I remember.
Yeah.
I guess we were at the same school. Yeah.
And something like, because I mean, this isn't new in superhero movies is to involve themselves in the past. But I think one thing that I will give something like Captain America, if we're going to talk about sort of the making an American myth out of our own history, one thing I do like about Captain America is like, I'm fighting the Nazis, but really I'm fighting Hydra, the secret organization within the Nazis. So you still have all the trappings of all that stuff, but it's like it's separate, and so it's still sort of fantastical. But this is like directly like, tons of like teens and young men were murdered over some weird political stuff, but a woman did it, so that's cool.
It's an awkward thing. I'm kind of the same way. It doesn't bother me as much in this case, because it's this von Ludendorff guy. Like this is kind of like what you're saying with Hydra, which this is a side adventure. Like she was trying to assassinate whoever was running Germany at the time. I probably knew that person's name at some point.
But essentially like these Germans weren't Nazis, but they might as well have been.
Yeah.
So that's a little, tough knock to the Germans out of nowhere is all I'm saying.
So they go to London, and this is something that I think they either needed to lean more into or not do at all of the, look, a woman's in the cabinet with us. You can't do business to a woman. Either don't do it or do it right. Don't do this weird wishy middle ground thing that they did here, where they kind of almost strikes me as if this movie was half an hour longer and a lot of it had that in it and they cut it for time.
On one hand, like, yes, you could have lost that. You could have lost most of that. But there is this like wanting to show that she's this powerful, capable person, but also that she's a sexy baby that doesn't understand things like that. It's not an uncommon trope. I immediately thought of the stupid elf person in Bright, because that's lodged in my memory, where it's like, I've been alive for thousands of years. What is a necklace? And that, like, when she like sees a baby and coos at it weirdly for no reason, and then that just
she's never seen a baby before, so that's
But why make that a point?
I'm kind of following you, but it doesn't bother. That's fine.
I'm using that as an example, as like a larger example, like the whole like I'm gonna try on different crazy clothes.
Okay, that part I hated. But the baby thing was fine, and I had the thought that you hate this part while I was watching it. Mm-hmm. But I thought the ice cream thing was great. But that's
the
only
ice cream thing was great.
Oh, good, because I thought she was delightful in that. But I'm like, this seems like the kind of thing John would hate, because it is.
I actually did enjoy that, because it was a fun throwaway thing, and just like the reaction to it was fine. It was the one time I thought one of the few times I thought Gal Gadot did a decent acting job.
Yeah, I thought she was very charming in that spot. There's a few spots,
which is I think like maybe because I remember sort of not hating her in Batman, Superman, and Justice League.
She's a lot worse in this.
Other than, like, there's no reason for her to be in Batman and Superman. Like, I remember that being stupid. But, like, when she's forced to carry something, not so much.
She's the same problem as the Hulk in Marvel, where there's not enough character to do a whole movie. And this movie did it smart that it's more of a... she's being propelled through the movie. It's not like the movie's not on. It's like you didn't do a Wonder Woman movie as if it's a Batman movie where the movie is Batman. This, you know, you gave her a strong secondary character. You didn't give her a villain, but like it's the, you gave the world as a character to try to fight against instead of having to focus too much on her. But like, I worry for the sequel because there's only so many times you can hide. Like, one, the weakness of the character. It's why the Superman movies fail, where it's just like, there's nothing here. Like, you're very strong. And, you know, like, especially in this one where it's, oh, yeah, you're from a magical wonderland where you're the smartest person ever. You're incredibly strong. You're the most attractive woman ever. Yeah, that's really, I can see myself in that a lot when we get into the interpersonal play, you know?
It's going to be like a Doctor Who thing where it's just his... Like, I haven't watched enough of the show, but, you know, he always gets a buddy, you know, wherever they, and so like it's that. Not, but I got a little distracted because I started thinking about a James Bond series where James Bond is just this gormless, handsome dope, but he just keeps running into all these like amazingly beautiful, smart side characters that just hold his hand through everything. Oh, and he gets all the credit for it.
Yeah, that'd be
and
fun, actually.
In the next movie, the same thing happens again.
All right, book it. Start writing it, John.
Not that she's that gormless in this, but I do feel like Chris Pine got more dialogue, probably for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a combination of she's not a great actress. She's not terrible. I mean, she's not good in this, but like I've seen her in other stuff. She's fine. She's for what she gets hired for. She doesn't, you know.
Yeah, I just don't think she can carry a movie.
Yeah, she can't carry a movie. And they smartly kind of wrote this around that. But also just as Wonder Woman as a character, it's especially in this when they like Wonder Woman. In the 2000s, in her timeline, could be interesting. But essentially, like, she is a sexy baby. Like, she grew up in... she's in the 1%. Like, she grew up in this fantasy Valhalla, land of the immortal lesbians. What do you have to talk about? Like, there's no... Yeah,
but, like, she knows all these different languages, but she doesn't know what a watch is?
Well, I mean, she knows languages from before the Industrial Revolution.
Fair enough. I'll take that because like I was going to say, well, she knew Chinese, but the Chinese have been around a while.
Yeah, there is a problem there because I think her English should be kind of middle English, but I think you can hand wave like, maybe they've got like people that go and get new books to update their language or something like that. But yeah, I'm fine with her technology not being, I just mean like shit to talk about. Like, so what was your childhood like? Oh, I learned battle and read books in an ancient library around the most beautiful people that ever existed. Oh yeah, I'm from Bournemouth. Like it's not a.
You ever had cholera?
Yeah. 25 million of my friends just died. You don't know death. Okay, cool. That's you know, fun. it's the problem of being too great. But you know, by the time she's the Diana Prince in 2000 whatever working in a museum, that character might be interesting enough to do a movie around. But this is just some brand new thing. And so I think that Patty Jenkins did a good job of, or whoever wrote it, pacing the movie around that enough.
Like, I think it was like three dudes that wrote it, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good of them because this movie could have been a lot more tits leaning. You know, like there's not actually, given that the guy wrote it, there probably should be more ass and sex in this than there is.
Wasn't that David Thewlis's character's name, like Lord Gerald Tits Leaning?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think that's his character name in everything. I mean, except for when he played Mooney, you know.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's one of the friends, you know. Yep. Mooney, yep. Pad Tail and Prongs.
As soon as I saw him. Yeah. This is going to get brought up.
He's
a werewolf man, isn't he?
Yes. That's why he's called Mooney. Remus.
Oh. I'm thinking of Mad-Eye Moody.
John, you want to be infuriated? You know what his real name is? Now, keep in mind, in the Harry Potter universe, you turn into a werewolf by being bitten by one, like kind of standard werewolf rules. Okay, you want to know what his real name is?
Gary, not bitten by werewolf.
No, his name is Remus Lupin.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Yeah, but he was named that before he was bitten by a werewolf. His given name is I'm going to be a werewolf.
That's pretty sweet.
That's some crisp writing there, Turfy von fucking Rowling. David Thewlis being in this, and he gets introduced in this movie as, hey, look, it's David Thewlis being very Thewlis-y.
Yeah, and just no chin British-y.
Yeah, he is. Him and, do you know who Mark Gatiss is?
Yes, yeah.
Him and Mark Gatiss are so fucking British that, like, anytime they're in a scene together, it's like, oh, just look at that. Just look at you tea drinking fucks.
Look at that empire.
Yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, purely for what happens later is very silly. But I also have issues with that whole thing. Because I kind of, like, as soon as he showed up, I kind of felt like, well, this, you know, he's going to have a pretty major role in this because it's David Thewlis. You know, go ahead and spoil it. Turns out he's Ares.
Did you see something like that coming?
I didn't know that he was going to be Ares, but I thought he was, because, like, as soon as they, like, left him, I'm like, well, he's going to show up later. That seems like a waste of David Thewlis.
Well, yeah, I mean, they call him or whatever, because that's the one thing that rarely does a big twist work on me, but when it's revealed that he's Ares, I'm like, holy shit, I did not see that coming. And
well,
then he starts...
I don't even want to get into that till we're at the end, but she interrupts this meeting because the spy, Chris Pine, has to go check in with his supervisor, and they interrupt this meeting to where he's trying to push for armistice. She does not want that, right?
David Thewlis. All of them want armistice because the war is about to end. Chris Pine wants to go and blow up the gas factory that Dr. Poison and Vander MacGuffin work at. Mm. They don't want to do that because it's in Belgium, and that would fuck up the armistice by bringing an armed force into Belgium. They set this up, and then they leave, and she's like, oh, you can't do this, blah, 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 because she doesn't understand how lying and guile work, which I actually thought was somewhat successful. Mm-hmm. He goes, no, you fucking calm the fuck down. How do you explain in eye contact? Oh, you don't know what lying is. I'm a spy, asshole. So he brings her outside. Hey, I'm a spy, 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 spy. Thewlis is like, I got your back. Go there, destroy do your job. Because he's behind the scenes. He's Palpatining the whole thing, trying to keep war going. Trying to set up a shitty armistice so the next war will happen. Which I guess technically setting up World War II. So, you know, good for Ares. Smart planning. You know.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Yeah, well, he's got 25 million dead, and he's setting up a war that's going to kill, I don't know, 60 million? I don't know how many died in the next one, but, like, you know, World War II definitely is winning in the war of, you know, worst thing ever.
If you're trying to kill all humanity, don't you want to just kind of get that done?
I don't know. That's the problem. Is I don't know if he's actually trying to kill all humanity. I mean, that's what he says, but it sounds like he's just trying to keep us miserable for longer.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's better ways to go about it.
Oh, yeah, no, obviously. But that's the setup for them to go behind enemy lines to go into Belgium. And they get a ragtag band of soldiers together featuring Timothy Dum-Dum Dooley, everybody else from Captain America, because it's the exact same thing of, like, look at these ragtag people. Are they bad? No, it turns out Heart of Gold.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the guys from the Dropkick Murphys.
Well, okay, so I love... Ewan Bremmer, who plays, I mainly know as Spud in Trainspotting, plays this Scottish sniper who is clearly suffering from PTSD. Like, he drinks a lot.
Shell shock, John. Come on, it's period appropriate, please.
Sorry, shell shock. He at one point he's supposed to, like, shoot a guy and he can't do it, and then when they're gonna, like, move on, he's like, I shouldn't go with you guys. Don't need me. Gal Gadot's like, no, you're coming. I felt so bad for him because he's so fucked up. But Wonder Woman's like, I don't care. You will fight. I don't care about your mental illness.
I guess the story arc was because he was singing because he's in a good mood. And she's like, oh, you can come and sing with us. Like, you can be our supporter, which I actually thought was worse.
Our bard.
Yeah, because it's like, yeah, you can dance for us, monkey, since you're not good enough to do your real job.
Scottish, you're useless.
I kind of saw where they're going with that, but I thought it was a little tone deaf if you thought about it for half a second.
Like, the horrors of war is not a thing for Wonder Woman to be handling in this movie, considering that so much of her thing is like, no, I'll just fight guys. And considering that the whole I'm against... armistice, we need to do something all the time kind of belies that.
Whatever, let's just get to the cool stuff.
So I like when they I don't remember the order of this, where do they go to the German party first and then to the village, or no, they go to the village first.
Yeah,
right.
Well, first they go to the trench and everybody's fucked up. They've been in trench for a year, and Chris Pine is trying to explain to her, like, look, they've been here for a year. Like, there's nothing they could do. They've made, like, 6 inches of progress. You can't save the people in the village that you hear screaming. She's like, fuck that. I'm, I'm the
no man's land. Yeah. Oh, but I'm a wool man.
Here's the thing. When they did the music swell and her looking badass running out onto it, I was so fucking there. Even though it's the cheesiest thing in the universe. Her running out into the field, taking all the bullets, and everybody in the trenches be like, oh my God, she's taking all the flak for us. Like, let's go. Let's do this. Like, oh, God damn it. This is working for me. Like, I was so mad at myself.
I will admit to a certain amount of so she's blocking all these bullets with her bracelets, which is cool. But there's so much of her. Why don't you shoot the other parts of her? It doesn't matter. But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's like, why not just shoot Batman in the head? Why do they, you know, they always just want to shoot the bat symbol.
Well, that's why the bat symbol's there. It's to draw,
no,
draw
I know, your attention. I'm just saying that, like,
if you know Batman lore at all, apparently you don't. Yeah,
I don't.
It's fine. But, you know, don't know anything about Batman. It's cool. You know, do you know what he's given for this country, for Gotham City, the city that you live in, his heart, his soul. Multiple Robins.
It's a cool scene, and I thought about, like, well, how about this? Woman has to take all the hits for men to advance. Mm.
Yeah, good.
Forgetting my Omar face over the phone.
But yeah, I am. I actually picked up on that. Cha-cha.
Speaking of that, way too late for this joke, but I'm going to do it anyway. In the first, in the island section of the film, they talk about the fucking God Killer a billion times. Now they have to keep it safe. And when they show what's supposed to be the God Killer, which is the sword, I was so waiting for it to be like a Richard Dawkins book.
Yeah, it's something like that. Like, yeah, that'd be funny.
This is the real God Killer.
What is an origin of species?
What is religulous?
Yeah. Oh, boy. So they fight their way across the trench, and it's delightful. And they go into this town, and this is my favorite action sequence in the film, where she just straight up fucking shoulder tackles a tank.
Yes.
I was so there for this whole thing. I was just like, this is great. Because she's 5'2", and they filmed it that I believed she was doing. Like, you know, you feel like, oh, she has preternatural power. You know, like when you have, that's what I think is weird with Superman, where you cast like these giant hunks, mm-hmm. where you're not so much in awe of them doing this amazing shit. Cause like, yeah, look at him. He's 6'4". I mean, it seems like he could probably do shit like that in real life. This is like a tiny little lady and she is dominating. And oh, it is fun as fuck.
It's fun. I don't know that I was there. I felt like you could totally see the CG and tell and kind of took me out of a little bit. But I was like, it was fun enough that I was on board.
There's a couple
it was nice to see an actual fun action scene.
There's a couple spots where the CG showed. It's just that tank thing was so fucking good. And yeah.
I was just excited for anything to happen at this point.
Yes. Because again, this I don't know if it's script, edit, whatever, but like that lull. So Thermoscara, I think, is really effective. This section, I think, is really effective. And up until the Thulis reveal, I think it's pretty good. But then the end is terrible. And it's one of those, like, I don't know what you can do about it. But, like, this is the part that I like. And I do
Also like that in this village, like, she's beating up all these, you know, all these people. But then there's, like, a sniper up in the church tower, the bell tower of the church. And all the I forget what her team name is or whatever. But all those guys lift up something for her to bounce off of. And she just destroys the steeple.
Yeah.
It's like the people in the village are like, oh, that's great. You destroyed our church. Thanks so much.
Okay, here's the thing, though. And I need to be clear here.
It was cool. It was totally cool.
I get what you're going with because she's Jewish, but she can prove the existence of gods. She knows, without a shadow of a doubt, that monotheism is wrong.
Oh, so Judaism is a lie then.
No, but why? Well, Judaism is not Judaism is not monotheistic. Judaism is polytheistic with one God above the others. Learn your fucking Torah. So, but her destroying, I don't even know if that's true. I know they use gods as plural. Well, they refer to gods above me in the Old Testament. So you would assume if there's a plural gods, there must be more than one. But her dad is Zeus. Is her dad Zeus?
I think that's supposed to be if they revealed that that's technically true. Yes, it would have been because they did reveal it at some point because she called Ares' brother at the end.
So like in the Wonder Woman continuity, she's from the Greek pantheon, not the Roman, even though they're the same fucking people. So like,
yeah, I don't know that there's a Roman pantheon.
No, there is. They have all different names for the same guys, but they think they're different. They basically just stole.
No, I'm talking like specifically in DC. I don't know if there is a Roman one.
Oh, okay. I think Marvel has the Roman one then. Because they both have, like, you know, in quotes, Greek gods.
Yeah, I think they both have a Hercules, maybe.
Yeah, it's weird. Anyway, this is so stupid. Anyway, the point is, my joke was great about, because she knows, because her dad is Zeus and her brother is a literal god. Why would you care about blowing up this pagan nonsense? I mean, who gives a fuck about this monotheist bullshit church? She knows that god is horseshit. Her mom is older than Jesus.
Oh yeah, well she doesn't even know. It wouldn't matter, but that's why that's, you know.
Well, she believes it.
I don't even think that the villagers really react that badly to it, but I just,
oh, I know. Like, I just thought it'd be funny.
It's like, you just destroyed our hospital.
The next thing I have, oh yeah, right before, so basically they're planning to infiltrate the party. And Chris Pine is wearing a cable knit sweater. I think it's called a cable knit sweater, that like kind of thick knit sweater.
I think so, yeah.
And oh boy, is he a hunk. I am I'm thirsty for him in that sweater. Like, he's one of those guys that like makes me think, oh, maybe I should get one of those come this winter. Cause he is just, he's looking nice. And this is where they have their makeout session.
Yeah. That's fine.
I just think at this point I don't think they have acting chemistry, but they have fuck chemistry. Like, it felt like, oh yeah, they need to have this happen right now, which is, what am I saying here?
you're horny and lonely.
Yes, but I'm trying to not be mean to Gal Gadot, but given her incompetence, it's nice to see a scene work really well. Like, okay, here's my she's not a Megan Fox, where she's actually not even all that sexually good on screen. Where, like, she tries to have sexual chemistry with someone, and she's like, nah, it's just like an attractive lady next to some guy, and they're about to make out. This is like seething, like it's coming across. Like, she's got there's vitality here, which I think is nice.
At this point in the movie, like, I just didn't care. So, I mean, like, I don't think you're wrong. I think that chemistry was there. I'm like, let's just keep going. I'm an hour and a half into this.
A lot of what I'm saying is me trying to, like, just put Chris Pine where I'm saying Gal Gadot, because this is awakening some feelings in me that
that's good.
Let's face it, I've been thirsty for more guys on the show than I have with it, but oh boy, that cable net. So they're going to infiltrate the party. How do you feel about the fez wearing French accent thing?
Oh, it's great. No, it's cool. That guy's awesome.
Is that okay in 2018 or whatever this movie came out?
17. It apparently was. The bit where he was like, I want to be an actor, but I'm the wrong color or whatever it was a little weird, but that the whole thing where he's pretending to be, like a racist stereotype to get in with the Germans, I guess, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Like, some of this movie should be a lot more hateful, I think, in my mind, just cause it was the '20s, or, you know, not even the '20s.
Yeah.
I assume everyone just walked around. I guess maybe that's just from reading H.P. Lovecraft. I just assume everyone is racist all the time in the '20s.
Yeah, well, that's America.
That's true.
There's. I mean, not to say that Europe was a bastion of openness, but you can't take us as like we really suck. there's a certain groups of people that just you can't judge the rest of the world by how we treated them. So,
right.
So I did. She can't go in the party for some reason.
The whole thing with her is that she's not. She's very conspicuous, because she is the most beautiful person alive.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Lets us know that again and again.
It's probably a good point. Yeah.
That whole party scene was just dumb and needlessly long, because like it only exists just to put her in a pretty dress.
All right, it's all right. Go ahead.
Well, and then when, you know, he's trying to work his wiles on Chris Pine is trying to work his wiles on Dr. Poison, and then she steps in the room, is all pretty, and all, he's making eyes at her. And then when she's about to kill that one guy and he stops her, he does so no problem. She's picked up a tank and thrown it, but he can stop her, no problem.
Well, I think she doesn't want to hurt him, so she's not using her. Yeah, I mean,
I also just think it's general superhero stuff where your powers are powers when they want to be. Like, you know, Superman puts up the same strength lifting up as a car as he does a giant boulder sometimes.
Yeah, and I think that's par for the course superhero style. So let me just be thirsty one more time. Yeah, Chris Pine hitting on that lady has like, oh, yeah, that's nice.
he was
Wish I was Dr. Poison.
Well, because I mean, the whole time you're supposed to think that like this evil general guy, Baron Von Bad Guy, is supposed to be Ares, because she believes he's Ares.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of like treats her like she's sort of like, okay, that's not really what's happening here, but she firmly believes it. And then sure enough, he goes and blows up, like, because Dr. Poison is making this new awesome gas, they go and test it on the village that they just
The gas of the village that she just met all those people in. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's very upset that Chris Pine tried to stop her from murdering the guy.
Yeah.
You have to do something. You can't not be murdering all the time.
So they're mad at each other, and then she goes to try to fight Ludendorff, and she does. She kills him. And
well, this is my favorite thing. So he's as a weird subplot, gets addicted to these poppers that Dr. Poison gives him.
Yeah.
That makes his face kind of glow a little bit.
Yeah, and he gets like super strong. You know, not Diana strong, but like super strong. Yeah.
But this is, you know, as a check in the feminist column, this is something that I've always believed, that a woman is just as strong as a dude on poppers.
Yeah.
And it's nice to finally see that on the screen.
You've said that many, many times.
In every episode, you can go back and check.
I cut them out of a lot of the episodes because
they're pretty unrelated.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with the movie. There's usually not anybody doing poppers. In fact, this might be the first time someone's done poppers and fought a woman in any of the movies we've seen. And so I'm glad it finally paid off, and I hope you'll stop saying it.
You know, it is, because I think in every movie it's like, boy, I wish Matthew McConaughey would take some poppers and fight a woman so it could prove my theory.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have to cut it. So that makes sense.
I'm sure there's a movie where it does poppers. So she kills Ludendorff after a short fight, which is nice. And this is a bit of good acting from Chris Pine. This movie, actually, I think Chris Pine is great in this.
This movie is actually full of really good actors.
Yeah. So she's like, wait, no, the war's supposed to end. I killed Ares. And his frustratingly just trying to describe, like, I don't know, like him trying to get across, like, I don't know why we kill each other. I'm just some guy. I can't do this. I just, all I know is that horrible, shitty gas is over there. And I don't know why I have to explain this, but we need to not have horrible, shitty gas. She's like, but I killed the bad guys. Everything should be back. It's like, I don't fucking know, sexy baby, but I need to go now. And it's a beautiful bit of like frustrated acting.
It was, I will say that I did like that only in as much as that is that he kind of saved his bullshit things that sound like an answer but aren't if you think about them till a little bit later. But in that moment, he is just like, I don't know. This is an awful world, and your magic guy that you were supposed to kill didn't do anything. That doesn't surprise me because this is all awful, but I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah. And that is immediately wiped off the table by showing us that, no, there actually is a magical god that makes war happen, which is, I mean, let's get to it here. It might be the worst thing in any superhero movie, mainstream superhero movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. The two hits. One is Ares is real. After we do this whole thing of like, wait, I killed Ares and nothing happened. It turns out he's a different guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fact that Ares is actually controlling the war after that revelation and that beautiful speech by Pine is fucking stupid. And I love the reveal that Thulis is Ares, because I didn't see it coming. I was like, oh, fuck. And it totally makes sense if you kind of go back and like think about like the plot. So I'm like, oh, that's great. And then he starts getting CGI armor, which is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire fucking life. It is dog shit on toast.
Before he does that, though, he does a thing I genuinely love, and I've talked about this before. I love effortless psychic power to the point where the person doing it is kind of bored. Like, that was one of the only things I liked in that awful Dark Tower movie was Matthew McConaughey sleepily just destroying people with his mind.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And David Thewlis does this at the beginning, like, because he's just all powerful and she's throwing things at him and he is just casually, like, it's a nuisance. Like, just like the way you just casually swat away a fly. And I always just love that because that to me says way more powerful than like grimacing and shooting lightning out of your hands kind of thing.
Oh, no, lightning in your hands, funny you say that, it's like in Empire where Vader is like, ah, I'm done toying with you. And he just starts throwing shit off the wall at Luke. Mm-hmm. Like, just huge chunks of the scenery. Yeah. He's thrown out of a fucking, he's like, yeah, it's our dude. Let's just wave my hand and a giant air evaporator is at you. It's a great way to show power. It's like, oh yeah, okay, we're done fucking around. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not grimacing. It's not that vein in your head coming out Dark Phoenix style.
Yeah. And the same thing, like, so when she like beats him up enough that it unlocks his second form. Yeah, he starts putting like getting all this armor put back on him so he looks like Zeus.
Oh, that's so stupid.
But like the bit where he like melts the eye holes with his fingers.
Yeah.
Like that's awesome, but to reveal that it's David Thewlis.
Exactly.
This is
literally the part that like I wanted you to see this movie is the God of War melts his eyes, his helmet to make it look like, you know, the kind of God of War style helmet. And mm-hmm. It's fucking David Thewlis under yeah. It is so, so stupid. And
like, as much as I hate, like, just CG things fighting CG things, at this point, have him drop the David Thewlis veneer and have him become, like, something else.
You know,
have him look like the fucking jackass from Suicide Squad.
Have there be a swole-ass soldier that we meet a couple times over the course of the movie that has no lines. You know, one of those people that just, you sort of see him. Yeah. And he changes into that because that's his war form, you know, but just something that you don't have the God of War being the most willowy Wayne Englishman under a helmet.
I don't need him to look like you cut the crust off his sandwiches.
Yeah, it is
like, I mean, it's a different kind of dumb, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's fucking bad. I mean, it's real bad, and anything that happens after this is going to be terrible, but what happens after this? Her realizing that love is the answer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even make sense.
No.
I know you hate Interstellar, but at least on paper, that tracks. You don't have to like it. It doesn't even have to make sense, but at least it tracks. You're like, oh, this does fit the boxes of a thing that can finish this movie. She's not showing love. She fought. Like, there's nonsense on top of this other steaming pile of shit. And love is because you realize that the guy you met killed himself stupidly. Because also, Chris Pine doesn't need to die in this.
Absolutely doesn't. The Nazis are going to use their new gas. Or I'm sorry, the Nazis. The Germans.
I just call them they're Nazis. Fuck it.
Yeah, are going to use their new gas to do some stuff. And so Chris Pine steals the plane, but not before giving her some touching speech where he tells her, what is it? It's not what you deserve. It's what you believe, which doesn't make any fucking sense. And then, drives the plane. And because it's on a timer or something, he can't just blow it up or it doesn't make any sense. But he decides to kill himself in the plane rather than, like, I don't know, just fly way up in the air and then jump out.
Or just fly it into a hangar, get out, and close the hangar doors.
It just doesn't.
Maybe we missed something, but I don't think we did. I think this is just a dumb sacrifice.
It's dumb. There's no way you could. You absolutely could have made this so much less dumb.
You know what actually would make it worse, though, is if you bring him back for the sequel anyway, like, let's say in 1984. Oh, wait. No. Oops. Sorry.
Oh, you mean kind of like what they did with Captain America and the love interest in that?
Oh, no. I meant like they're literally Chris Pine's back in the sequel to Wonder Woman.
Oh, is he? Seriously?
Yeah, they literally bring him back.
Because I hate that in the Captain America movie, how they brought back Agent Carter or whatever as an old woman.
Oh, no. As an old woman, I'm fine with that. But like him coming, he's Chris Pine. He looks the same, but in 1984.
That's even dumber.
I'm saying. It's terrible.
Like it because I like the idea of Captain America having lost something, but they went, no, not really. I mean, but she's still around.
But it's still, you lost something. You lost 70 years with your best gal.
I know.
That's significant. That's better.
I think if she was never there, I think that's a little bit more. It's kind of having your cake and eating it too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I think it's somewhat effective. I do like the... I think they should have done actually more with it if she was there for the next few movies of just like this awkward, like, should I be fucking a 94-year-old? Like, what, you know, like actually have it mean something instead of just
that
giving
would be
it.
Pretty sweet. Yeah.
Oh God. What if he fucked her to death? because he's, you know, he's like this super soldier. He like breaks her hips.
Not fun.
Yeah. Like, oh, Peggy. And then just, yeah, her brittle 94-year-old hips just snap.
We're in a Kevin Smith movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that's, sorry. Hey, look, a poop monster. Yeah. So he's dead. That's pretty much it, right? Oh yeah, and then they go, oh, we forgot about the very meaningful bookends of this.
Yeah,
that she gets a note from Bruce Wayne, that we know it's Bruce Wayne from watching that other movie, that he found the original picture of them hanging out together, the fighting squad in that village,
Mad Dog Marauders or whatever they were called.
And at the end of it, she writes it back saying like, hey, thanks for finding whatever she says to him in an email. And I guess that sets up the Justice League, right? Is that where this fits in the...
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, which leads... which, boy, you don't need those bookends. They're utterly useless. And then I didn't sit through it, but was there a post-credit stinger or anything?
Yeah, you are asking the wrong guy. I'm not professional. I was done with this movie.
Oh, so no, I'm asking the exact right guy. I wasn't going to sit through it either. We're on the same page. I'm like, yeah, fuck that. In the theater, it was delightful because I was there and there is a primarily lady crowd and it got a full standing ovation. It's been down in the theater for like 2 weeks and, well, maybe not standing, but like it got large applause from the audience. And it was so cool because even watching it for the first time in the theater, which I liked it a lot more, there was still like that third act like, oh, this is dog shit. But yeah, everybody really liking it, like, oh, this is cool. Like, I'm glad to see the crowd going nuts.
It the whole thing to me, that element of it feels like that fucking little girl statue they put on Wall Street, like standing up to the bull.
Oh yeah.
And then they found out that like a fucking like company, a corporation like put that out, like not some like Banksy. It's feminism. It's just like bullshit stuff in every superhero movie and the kind of like weird sort of fascist undertones, but this time it's a woman, so it's powerful and good.
Yeah.
And that feels just gross.
But John, what you're forgetting is corporations are people too. What are you, not American?
I'm sorry. That's right. I forgot that.
Yeah.
So it's just some of the same stuff that I don't like about superhero movies, but this time it's got a woman in it, so it's woke now.
So Wonder Woman. I mean, I guess if we have any like young people listening to the show, go, you know, watch that.
Yeah, I like if you
young women,
kids, go for it. Fine. Is this like a 93% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, which I'm just baffled by? Because, like, I mean, I think Rotten Tomatoes in general is kind of dumb, but like, I did not think this movie was very good. And even if I'm being generous to it, it's like maybe a B, if that. Like, but to be like 93% is weird to me.
I think it's a solid, like, if we're judging it as a superhero movie, not as a movie, just. Mm-hmm. In the genre of superheroes, I think it's a solid B minus B. Like, it is a totally serviceable. I'll probably even watch it again because now I know which parts to skip. Like, totally, it did the job it was out there to do. But yeah,
And particularly for the even getting more specific, yeah, for the DC movies, it is on the preferred list of DC.
Oh, movies. For the DC movies, it's an AA+. Yeah, it's
yeah.
Because
it's no Aquaman, but it'll be fun.
Yeah. All right, John. Speaking of what we're going to do next episode, I want to tell everybody this. In the audience, if you ever thought, hey, I want Alex and John to hear my voice when I berate them for how stupid they are and how wrong they are, or I want to tell them what movie to watch next or something like that, I have a voicemail you can call if you'd like. 503-575-9118. That's in America. I don't know how to call America because I don't leave that often. But for you Americans, call 503.
You just shout freedom into a phone.
Yes. Shout +9 freedom, 503-575-9118. And you can leave us a voicemail. And if it's remotely usable, we'll play it on the show. So make it good.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of people reaching out, should give a quick shout out to Young Anna. For drawing our a sweet logo for us.
Yes, we got a fan logo redesign from Anna. Thank you very much. That was very sweet of you. You're the only fan that loves us enough. So you are now number one fan in your face, Steph Quick. So next episode, John, why don't you tell them what we're watching?
We're gonna keep the badass women of recent action cinema going with Battle Angel Alita.
Yes, the Robert Rodriguez manga-ish thing.
I forgot that it was him. Oh, I'm already bored.
It's literally why I just said it right now, is to hear your oh.
What did I agree to? Okay, no, it's fine. It's great. Yeah. Another chance is us being the great woke feminists that we are to amplify voices of female action stars written and directed by men.
Yeah. Well, here's the good thing, though, is that we don't have guests on the show, so we can't be blamed for not having a woman on to discuss it with
us.
So.
That's true. We have very few guests.
Yes.
And we can't. You know, I mean, there's the technology just isn't there for people to not be in the same room.
The internet can only allow two middle-aged white men to talk to each other over telekinetics.
Maybe one day science will catch up, but until then, this is what we got. I'm sorry.
Speaking of that, teledildonics, can I take this out yet?
No, absolutely not.
God. Because, I mean, it was nice at first, but, like, can you feel full from your asshole? That was the grossest thing I've ever said. Okay.
Yes, it was.
So, thanks for listening, people. If you want to remember, 503-575-9118. You know, that'd be fun. Okay, bye.